Okay, welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos. Now I think he's gone back for his nap.
No, I'm here.
And we have Jim Smith, who is the author of Heroes to the End. And let me just give out a little information for people listening to get in touch with Jim or get a copy of the book, www.heroestotheend. Just type the whole thing out.
Dot heroes to the end.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah, www.heroestotheend.com. And Jim's email address is Smith. Jim Vett, SMITHJIMVET at gmail.com. And of course, Beacon House is UVBH.com. And of course, 311. I mean, people drive and people don't have a pen necessarily. You call 311. As Otto was saying, it's an exciting book coming from a person I know personally that I know everything that's got into it. This isn't a book that was written to try to make a buck. In fact, Jim doesn't even get the money. The money's going to Beacon House. This was like a bearing of a person's soul. And when we went to break, and this is more for you guys than for me, Otto was bringing up, you know, 1.4 million people dead through Vietnam. I mean, everybody combined about.
Yeah.
And yet today, even, we turn around and say, send troops in. People don't seem to really feel what happens to the people coming back.
Yeah, and like the Vietnam War, as I understand it, it's not divided today, and it's under communist rule. So that war, you know, was fought, and it's where it was going in the first place.
Right, and how many families, though,
have suffered
the pain
of
loss, and then people coming home. I mean, Jim, with the Beacon Houses, how many these men are homeless?
Yeah.
I mean, that's another thing, which is another whole bizarre thing, that you send out to defend you, in this case it wasn't defend, it was to push an issue, and now when they are in their later years, and Project Independence does everything to try to help people, some of these guys and ladies too, I'm not just saying guys, you know.
Well, we talk about 1.4 million being killed. How many are ruined for life because of physical or mental issues on top of it, you know?
Well, I went to group therapy in the early 90s, right before the first Gulf War. And a guy in my group was a tunnel rat in Kuchi. So he was like 5'6", 110 pounds, and he used to jump into holes in the ground and ferret out documents and weapons. And, you know, if he had to kill some folks, he did that. So one time he told us in the group, he jumped into a hole and he saw a muzzle flash, and he fired without thinking. And then when he put his flashlight on the body, it was a female Viet Cong soldier, and she had a baby in a knapsack on her back, and the bullet had gone through both of them.
Oh, boy.
So here this guy is in 1991 in group therapy, you know, unable to forgive himself for what he did and sort of stuck, you know, wearing fatigues, substance problem, unemployed, you know, on the verge of homeless. So this is how these things happen, traumatic incidents of one kind or another.
Wow.
That's a tough story.
That is. It's a terrible story, but that's, and there's many of them. See, that's not one unique story. I mean, I'm not saying how many, but obviously Jim knows there's enough situations like that. And it's also, now that's a very severe one, but nobody can determine what bothers them. I just see something happen. I don't have to be participating in it. It can bother me for the rest of my life because I witnessed it.
Yeah, well, I didn't know what survivor's guilt was until I went to therapy and found out, you know, that I kept telling myself, why did I survive? And, so many guys that I knew died, including six that I wrote about in the book. You know, many times I was at a place that had been hit in the morning that was all quiet when I was there. I was watching airstrikes be called in from a mountaintop bunker, and a lieutenant told me, you know, I'm glad you didn't come yesterday, we had 56 rounds inside the perimeter of rockets. So, you know, I had a charmed life. And then when I got home, I sort of abused alcohol because I couldn't figure out why I had been spared.
It's complex stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, I can tell you one of the reasons why Jim is spared, because Jim is really an advocate for people today. And I've witnessed it through the congregation that we both happen to be involved in. And he, nothing, an activist, there's no question about it. If something is, if there's a wrong someplace, right, you know, you wind up hearing Jim Smith's name someplace, and he's not afraid to speak up for a person.
And the thing is about Beacon House, you know, we have compassion, but we only keep these guys 6 to 18 months, and they better get their act together in the time they're with us, because, you know, we don't have pool tables in the houses. We don't have video games for them to play. And if you come to our houses during the day, you won't find anybody at home, because they're all at their medical appointments. They're at the VA making sure they get their benefits. They're in job training programs, or they're in a college course. So, you know, we get after them to turn their lives around and become independent and leave us.
You know, the town of North Hempstead, by the way, has a Veterans Advisory Committee, which I think there's a guy I bowl with who's one of the men in leading part of that group. And there's a need to help people who've gone through that kind of situation. Right. You know, these wars right now, they got the same problem as Vietnam.
Yeah, and if I may say so, I've been in touch with Rich DiMartino from that group, yeah. And he is trying to get me invited to their February 27 meeting to tell them about my book and about Beacon House.
I'm actually, there's a guy, Al Piscatelli, who is a member of that group. I'm going to be with him in about 2 hours in a bowling alley. So I'm going to bring it up again.
Yeah. That's how these things work. It's somebody says, bring up a name, and you bring up a name. Yeah.
Well, it's funny, because I had left a message at a, I believe it was a Garden City post, and Rich answered that call and told me he has a little post. You know, there's not too many people come to their meetings, but he has this advisory group that he thought would benefit from hearing from me. So, you know, it's a networking thing.
Absolutely. Is that the fellow from Port Washington?
Al Piscatelli was on this show. He's right. From Call Place.
Oh, it's Call Place. Yes. Yeah. Okay. I do remember. Okay. Yeah. Okay. No, but that's the importance of once you have a book, and Jim knows it better than I do, the book gives you more credibility to go out and tell the story and try to help people also. If you just want to come in and talk to an organization, it's very nice, who are you, what's your credentials, etc. When you're a published author, it's a shame, but it does, and you've been in there, you've seen the fight, it gives you a greater opportunity, because what you're sharing is from the heart, and that's
I mean, I would encourage, I don't sell the book, I don't get a commission, as I said, I did read it. And,
I know, you told me.
I thought it was very well written, I liked how it was organized, it's actually for a good cause as well. This is not a big profit-making proposition for Jim. He's doing what you said. He's advocating and helping, the Veterans Night, Veterans Beacon House.
Right, right.
So I really encourage people to look into this book.
And the thing is, there was hours put into it. This is, you know, I mean, this, actually, I mean, it's interesting.
43 years, John.
Yeah. I'm really.
Until I finally got it out.
Yeah. So 43 years in the making.
Yes.
No, but it's the truth. It's we had talked about something else earlier, Otto and I, but this is the type of, you feel this. And I Otto was basically saying that. It's a different, this is not
it's not a biography, or it's a something that was lived by somebody.
Right, that's it. Each one of these little vignettes.
Who happens to be able to put it in writing.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing that these guys are able to talk in an offhanded way about the fact that, geez, I had a Kodak Instamatic on the console next to me, and an AK-47 round came up from the jungle and went right through it. It's a great war souvenir. You know, and meanwhile, I'm sitting in the right-hand seat, and I'm saying, what happens if my rear end is blown away from an AK round?
Yeah, you know, another thing, too, is you made a comment that they actually had to force you to leave Vietnam.
Well, yes. I had gotten a Dear Jim letter from a girl at Fordham who met somebody.
I did one when I was gone. I was in the Navy.
Well, this woman...
I didn't even get a letter, by the way.
You know, met somebody at a peace demonstration and sort of kissed me goodbye. So I was shacking up for 6 months with a Vietnamese woman. And, you know, I had an air-conditioned station wagon. And I had a Land Rover. And, you know, I had the ability to go to... a beach resort for 3 days at a time, and you know, then come back and jump on a chopper and go cover the war again. So, you know, I was in no hurry to leave, and I would have stayed right up until the Paris Peace Accords were signed in January of 73 if they had let me.
But you were also 23 years old, which most people who were in those years, like I was 20, 21,
right.
You know, you're young and dumb. Let's put it that way.
You could say that again. But you know what? I came out of Vietnam with $4,400 in the bank, and I walked into a Chevy dealership in Queens and plunked down cash for a brand-new Monte Carlo. So I had pulled guard duty for people who were drug addicts and were afraid to go on the wire. And I had saved like a demon and came out of it with a car and went back to Newsday in June of 73 as a full-time reporter.
I think you said you went to E5 or...
And 43 years later, you have a book.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, tremendous. Listen, we have to take a break. Actually, this segment is over, but we're going to have Jim back again to continue with this and actually talk sports with Otto. We'll have this set up. But right now, I've been listening to 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.